The following audio is from Hope Hill Church. To learn more about Hope Hill Church, please visit hopehillchurch.org.
God, we thank you so much for your church that you invite us to be a part of, that through you we are made children, a part of your family, so that we can be a blessing to those in need. And God, I pray that you continue to equip us through your word, you teach us through your word, you help us to hear from you. God, as I share from my heart this morning, I pray that more than anything, your Holy Spirit shares to our hearts, and that you give me the words you'd like me to say, and help us to learn how to apply this to our life today. In your name we pray, amen. All right, as you turn in your Bibles, if you need a Bible, you can raise a hand. We have free Bibles available. If you don't own a Bible, it's our gift to you. Keep it. Our ushers will pass those out. If you need one, just raise your hand. Turn to John chapter 12. It's in the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the third gospel in the New Testament. We started this journey on Easter Sunday. On Easter Sunday, we looked at what happened on the cross. We looked at what happened when Jesus, our Lord and Savior, out of love and knowing us and loving us, he gave up everything for us so that we could know and love him. And what we decided to do was we decided to back up about 2 weeks leading up to the cross to kind of look at the important events and as they unfolded leading up to the cross. A lot of times if someone's dying, the things that they do at the end of their life are typically pretty important. I would say that everything Jesus did was pretty important. But we decided to back up. And we started a journey basically that last 2 weeks of Jesus' life, looking at the events as they unfolded. Starting in chapter 10, we saw that Jesus' message was spreading, that his love was being demonstrated by healing many people, by feeding the hungry, by taking care of the sick. And there were a lot of people who were happy about it. Crowds were gathering because their needs were being met. We're going to see today that that's not enough. For far too long, many people have thought being part of the crowd was good enough. And we're going to see something different today. There were others who were coming around because they wanted to see the next great show. They had heard that Jesus somehow did magic tricks and performed great signs and miracles. And they weren't sure who he was or what he was about, but there was something awe-inspiring about this guy, and they showed up because they wanted to see a sign. They wanted to see a miracle. And again, that's not enough. So Jesus, in his time, had a group of people called the Pharisees and the Sanhedrin, the ruling council of the Jews, and they did not like Jesus. Jesus clearly demonstrated that he knew what he was talking about. A couple Pharisees snuck out to meet him at times and said, "Hey, Jesus, there's something different about you. It's clear that you're sent by God. We haven't quite figured out who you are, but who are you?" There was a man named Nicodemus in John chapter 3 who had this kind of conversation, and Jesus made it pretty clear that apart from him, you could not know the Father, that you had to put your faith and trust in him in order to go to heaven. And we see Nicodemus kind of on this journey. And he shows up at the cross. In secret, he's kind of following and admiring Jesus for a couple years. But at the end of Jesus' life, there's no secrets anymore. And Nicodemus shows up. He's carrying 75 pounds of perfume to bury the body of Jesus. I mean, that was 1 pound is like worth a year's wages, we learned last week. And here, Nicodemus is like saying, "I'm giving it all. He's my Savior. He's my Lord." And we're going to see that there's a difference in being a part of the crowd and knowing about Jesus and a complete difference of being a part of the children of God and being known by Jesus. And so I hope that you can follow along with me today as we look at the events as they unfold. We're about 6 days before Jesus is going to be arrested. He had just attended the funeral of one of his closest friends, Lazarus, and 4 days into the funeral, 4-day-long funeral, they lasted about 7 days, Jesus says, "No,
This death is not going to end in vain. It's going to bring glory. I want you to see that I don't just give life. I am the life. And Jesus steps into this situation and says, Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus comes back to life. And tons of people are there. Now, this is right before the Passover and the festivals that will be happening. And many people are traveling into Jerusalem. And this little town where this miracle happens is right off the major corridor into Jerusalem. And so tons of people have come. And this crowd is growing. They've heard that somehow this man named Jesus rose somebody from the dead. And the Pharisees are not happy. If we continue to let Jesus go on doing these kinds of things and teaching the kinds of things that he teaches, many people are going to start believing in him. We need to put an end to him. We need to kill him. And we need to kill any evidence there is. So they even start plotting on how to kill Lazarus. We'll pick up where we left off last week. In John chapter 12, verse 9, it says, meanwhile, a large crowd of Jews found out that Jesus was there and came, not only because of him, but also to see Lazarus, whom he raised from the dead. So the chief priests made plans to kill Lazarus as well. For on account of him, many people, many Jews, were going over to Jesus and believing in him. Now the next day, the great crowd that had come to the festival heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel. Hosanna means save us, the Savior. Jesus found a young donkey and he sat on it, as it was written. In verse 15, it says, do not be afraid, daughter of Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt. At first, the disciples didn't understand all of this. It was only after that Jesus was glorified that they realized that these things had been written about him and that these things had been done to him. What happened in the Old Testament, the majority of the Bible, two-thirds of it, they contain a lot of prophecies about a coming Messiah. These Jews who were now enslaved by the Roman Empire were waiting for this king to come. They weren't necessarily looking for a Lord, but they were looking for somebody who would save them. They were looking for somebody who would end the tyranny and rule of the Roman Empire and allow them to be able to go on living life the way that they wanted to live. And here they had gathered, they had heard this man Jesus somehow might be the Messiah. And they were convinced. And so the same crowd, many of those who were present when Lazarus was raised from the dead, they lined the streets and took palm branches. Many of us do this on Palm Sunday in some of our traditions growing up. And they declared, Hosanna, the king is coming. And as it was prophesied, Jesus rode a donkey into Jerusalem. What we also will come to see is that many who were on this day yelling, Hosanna, just 6 days later, we'll be yelling, crucify him. Because they're going to see that he's not the kind of king that they want. He's not a kind of king who's coming to just set them free to live life how they want. But he's the kind of king that calls us to repentance. He's the kind of king that calls us to put others before ourselves. He's the kind of king that comes and says, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it will not bring forth. And he calls us to that same way of living. Crowds had many times gathered around Jesus. There was the crowd that gathered around when Lazarus was raised. There's this crowd now. Hey, there's that guy. Let's go find him. They're looking for a show. They're looking for the next big thing that they can talk about. But they're not looking for Jesus for who he is. I'm reminded of this by looking back at John chapter 6. Some of you know the story of the feeding of the 5,000. Jesus at one time was teaching and crowds had gathered and the disciples are starting to freak out because they've been there all day listening to Jesus' teachings. And the disciples come and they're like, Jesus, we need to do something. The food trucks haven't arrived and these people are hungry. Send them back into town so they can eat. Get rid of them. And Jesus is like, don't worry, we got this. you know the story, a small child comes up and offers Jesus his lunch, a few loaves of bread and a few fish, and Jesus takes it and gives thanks and then begins to have his disciples pass out the loaves and the fish, and they're able to feed everyone there. Gigantic miracle. And at the end, they pick up the leftovers, and there's 12 baskets of leftovers. I mean, that's just crazy, this kind of stuff. And this is the kind of news that began to spread, why crowds would come. You got to come and see this. There's a miracle man who does magic tricks and does all kinds of crazy things. You got to come and check him out. But that's not why Jesus came. If you look at the couple verses I'll point out, if you look at the story, as chapter 6 unfolds, Jesus goes away to be alone for some time, and the crowd is like wondering where he is. They want more. In verse 24, it says, once the crowd, this is chapter 6, verse 24 of the book of John, once the crowd realized that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they got into their boats and they went to Capernaum in search of Jesus. They want to find him again. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they came to him and said, Rabbi, which means teacher, when did you get here? And Jesus says these words. Pay attention to them. He says, very truly I tell you, you're looking for me not because you saw a sign that I performed, but because you ate the loaves and you had your fill. You need to learn what it means to not work for the food. He says, do not work for the food that spoils, but for food that will endure to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him, God the Father has placed his seal of approval. So they get into this debate, this discussion with Jesus. What are you saying? Are you saying you're from God? Are you saying that we're supposed to put our belief in you? What sign do you have to show us that can prove to us who you say you are? Our forefathers, they had Moses, and God sent manna, and each day they would go out and eat this bread, and that's how they knew they could put their trust in Moses and God. And what are you going to give us? You see the theme being repeated here? They had ate the day before, and now they're not looking for Jesus. They're not looking for a Savior. They're not looking for a Lord. They're looking for somebody who's going to perform another sign. They're looking for someone who's going to bless them again. They're looking for someone who's going to fix their family that's falling apart. They're looking for someone who's going to heal their children who are sick. They're looking for someone who's going to fix all their problems. They're not looking for a Lord. What are you going to do for us to prove to us that you are who you say you are? Jesus said in verse 35, sure, I tell you, let me back up to verse 32. Chapter 6, verse 32, Jesus said to them, very truly, I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven. It was my Father who gave you this bread, the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. So they say, sir, give us this bread. We want life, right? Who doesn't want life? Who doesn't want to be blessed, right? Give it to us. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Seven times in the book of John, Jesus says, I am, and then he fills in the blank. I am is the name of God. It is from the Old Testament, I am Yahweh, and Jesus uses this phrase and says, I am. You shouldn't be looking for bread. I am the bread. I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me and still you do not believe. All those who the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but to do the will of the Father who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of those who have been given to me, but instead raise them up in the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up in the last day. He then says, I am the bread that came down from heaven. And the Jews were upset. They began to grumble about him for saying this. And Jesus says in verse 43, stop grumbling among yourselves. And this argument breaks out. And he begins to tell them that he is the bread of life. And that unless you commit your life to him, and not just the things he can give you, not just the blessings that you're hoping to get from him, but unless you're willing to eat of his life, to follow in his footsteps, to follow his way of life, unless you are willing to surrender completely to him, you cannot have any part of him. He begins to talk and give picture of the communion supper that they will celebrate together before he is arrested. And he talks about his life being bread and his blood being drink that will be spilled out to offer us forgiveness of sins. And at this, many were confused. What is he talking about? We have to eat his body and drink his blood? Many of the disciples in verse 60 said, on hearing this, many of the disciples said, this is a hard teaching. Who can accept it? Verse 61, Jesus, being aware that his disciples were grumbling. Now, disciple doesn't mean that they're a true believer. Being a disciple is simply following in someone's footsteps and learning from them. Last week we learned that there was a disciple named Judas who never put his belief in Jesus. Jesus, at the end of chapter 6, actually says, I know that Judas is a devil. In verse 7, he says, in chapter 7, he says that being a disciple does not make you a child of God. Many disciples were in this crowd, and many of them, hearing this teaching, found it too hard to accept. Does this offend you, Jesus said, verse 62? Then what if the Son of Man were to ascend to where he was before? The Spirit gives life and flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you, they are full of Spirit and of life. Yet there are some of you here who do not believe. For Jesus had known from the beginning which of them did not believe and who would betray him. He went on to say, this is why I told you that no one can come to the Father, can come to me unless the Father has enabled him. Look at this next verse. From chapter 6, verse 66. That hit me like 2 years ago. And I remember growing up and hearing the number of the Antichrist was 666 and big number of the beast, big scary number. Look what just so happens to be chapter 6, verse 66. From this time, many of the disciples turned back and no longer followed him. The crowds. Being a part of the crowd is not enough. Being a part, there were many crowds who came to see him perform signs, to have their belly filled, to have their problems fixed, but they weren't looking for a savior. And the Lord, they just wanted somebody to solve their problems. It's not enough to be a part of the crowd. Now the crowd, jumping back to our story in chapter 12, verse 17. The crowd that was with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to spread word. Many were spreading word that, hey, come watch this miracle maker. Come see this guy. He's amazing. Many people, because they had heard that he performed signs, went out to meet him. Verse 19. So the Pharisees, those were the religious leaders of the day, the people who were very upset with what Jesus was doing, with how he was teaching, with the way that they may lose their power if Jesus had his way. The Pharisees said to one another, see, this is getting us nowhere. Look at how the whole world is going after him. And from this point on, we got to get serious about this. We need to end this guy's life. And in a week from now, they're going to take him to the cross. See, the whole world is going after him. Verse 20. Now there were some Greeks there among those who were went to worship the festival. A lot of these Greeks and Romans were there. They were living there. The Roman Empire had been established. And as you read through the Gospels, you're going to see that not just Jews were hearing of these miracles, but many who weren't Jews were also. And Greeks were there. They were wanting to learn more about Jesus. There were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the festival. They came to Philip, who was with, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. They said, "Sir, we would like to see Jesus." So Philip went to tell Andrew, and Andrew and Philip, in turn, went and told Jesus. And here's where Jesus' words start to kind of draw a line to show the difference between being a child of God and being a part of the crowd that just follows after God. Growing up, one of my favorite heroes was John Elway. I grew up in Denver, and we went through many heartbreaks of seeing some championship games lost and never quite making it or winning the Super Bowl. But John Elway, there was something about him. Any John Elway fans out there? Come on, one. All right, Dad. Thanks. He was amazing. I knew all kinds of things about him, but I never knew him. I admired a ton of things about him, the way he played, the way he threw, his mind for the game. He was amazing. But the closest I ever got to John Elway was my dad getting a picture with him. And that's it. And unfortunately, that's how many in this crowd were with Jesus. They had heard things about him. Some of them maybe memorized some prophecies about him. But they didn't know him. And God doesn't want us to be a crowd that admires him. God wants us to be a child that knows him and is known by him. Jesus draws a line. In verse 23, Jesus replied. He said, "The hour has come." Up till now, he's been saying the hour is not yet here. It's still day. Night has not yet come. But Jesus, knowing his time to go to the cross was at hand, he says, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly, I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Therefore, anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant will also be. My Father will honor the ones who serve me." Jesus has many times said, "If you love me, obey my commands." Jesus was not just looking for people who wanted to know him and know about him. He wanted people who were willing to surrender everything in order to follow him. Jesus in Luke chapter 9, verse 23 says, "If you want to follow me and be my true disciple, then you must deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me." What, I got to pick up a cross? You got to be willing to die to yourself. You got to be willing to die to your own desires, things that will get in the way of following after me. You have to be willing to die to those things if you truly want me to be your Lord. And this crowd was not getting it. All of this began to trouble him. Jesus knew that he had come for this purpose, to die for the world, even though many of them who had seen all of these miracles, who had seen his love demonstrated, many would never believe. "Now my soul is troubled," he said in verse 27. "But what should I say? Should I say, 'Father, save me from this hour'? No, I can't say that. This is the reason I've come. It is for this very reason that I've come to this hour. So instead, 'Father, let your name be glorified.' Glorify your name." And then at that moment, a sound came from heaven. It says a voice came from heaven. And the voice said, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd is there. They're hearing. But many of the crowd listening, they don't hear a voice. They only hear thunder, because they don't really know who Jesus is. They've seen him. They've seen the things he does. But they don't know the voice of God. Jesus, earlier in John, the book of John, calls himself the Good Shepherd. And we're told that he saw us as sheep without a shepherd, and he had compassion for us and came to meet our needs. And he says, I am the good shepherd, and my sheep know my voice. These sheep who were there did not know their shepherd because they did not know his voice. They simply heard thunder. But others said, an angel had spoken to him. Jesus said, this voice was for your benefit, not mine. Now is the time of judgment on this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. Him meaning the cross. He said this to show the kind of death that he was going to die. The crowd spoke up. Wait a minute. How can you be a Messiah and die? The law we've heard tells us that the Messiah will remain forever. How can you say the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? Then Jesus told them, you are going to have the light just a little while longer. He was referring to himself. Walk while you have the light before the darkness overtakes you. Whoever walks in darkness does not know where he is going. Believe in the light while you have the light so that you might become children of God. Did I already read John chapter 1, verse 11 and 12? I'm going to read it one more time. John chapter 1, he came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of a human decision, or of a husband's will, but born of God. In far too many ways, we have many people who are a part of a crowd, who are chasing after Jesus for what Jesus can do for them. We have people who come to church hoping that if I go to church enough, if I pray enough, the problems I have will be taken care of. And too many of us come after Jesus for what he can do for us instead of what we can do for him. And here Jesus says, you're all, I'm only going to be here a little while longer. Put your faith and trust in me so that you may become children of light. When he had finished speaking, Jesus left and he hid himself from them. Even after Jesus had performed so many signs in their presence, they still would not believe in him. I'm going to jump down to 42 because of time. And we'll bring this to a close for today. Yet at the same time, many who were there, even many who were among the leaders, believed in him. But because of the Pharisees, they would not openly acknowledge their faith, for fear that they would be put out of the synagogue. For they loved human praise more than the praise of God. And Jesus cried out and said these words, whoever believes in me does not believe in me only, but in the one who sent me. The one who looks at me is seeing the one who sent me. If you're looking at me, you are looking at the Father. I am the way, the truth, and the life, he said. No one comes to the Father except through me. I have come into the world as a light so that no one who believes in me will stay in darkness. If anyone hears my words but does not keep them, I do not judge that person, for I did not come to judge the world but to save it. But don't end there, because there is a judgment, and the judgment does happen. Verse 49, Jesus says there is a judge for the one who rejects me and does not accept my words. The very words I have spoken will condemn them at that last day. For I did not speak on my own, but the Father who sent me commanded me to say all that I have spoken. I know that his command leads to eternal life, so whatever I say is just what the Father has told me to say. So what do we do with this passage of Scripture? As our worship team comes up, I want to challenge you to think through a few things in our time together here at the end. Throughout the last 3 years of Jesus' life, there were many crowds that would pursue him, that would chase after him. Again, they were following after him, not because of who he was, but for what he could do for them. Where are you this morning? Are you pursuing God for the things that you're hoping he'll do for you? Or are you coming to him to make him your Savior and your Lord and saying, God, we live in a broken and fallen world, and I want to be a part of the problem. I'm part of the solution, not a part of the problem. Hopefully you'll remember that more because I messed it up. Are you here to say to Jesus, I want to follow after you, and if that means I have to sacrifice in some area of my life, God, it's worth it because you gave up everything for me. In a moment, we're gonna invite those of you who are children of God, those of you who have put your faith and trust in God, to do what Jesus told us to do. On the night before he was arrested, he took a piece of bread and he broke it. And he gave it to those in his presence. And he said, in the future, when you eat of this bread, remember my body and all that I'm going to do for you. And he took the cup and he said, this is a symbol of my blood that will be shed for you, for the forgiveness of your sins. As you eat of this bread and taste of this cup, remember what I did for you. Remember how much I loved you. Remember how I died for you. And remember now how I want you to live for me. And so in a few moments, we're going to invite you to come up and to remember God in this way, to remember his son, Jesus Christ, and what he did for us. And the question is, are you going to be a part of the crowd and just go through the motions and just, hey, it's communion time, eat, drink, okay, we're done? Or are you really a child of God? That in this moment you are moved by knowing how much God loved us, that he would allow his son to be broken for us in this way, that you realize how much he knows you, and in spite of who you are and the things you've done, he loves you still. And that he offers forgiveness to any who would receive it. He doesn't want you just to be a part of the crowd. He wants you to become one of his children. And he says if you put your hope and faith and trust in him, he will make you a child of his own. The scriptures say that if we believe in our heart that he is Savior and Lord, and we confess with our mouth, if we believe that God raised him from the dead, if we confess with our mouth that he is Lord, that we will be saved, that we will be made a child of his. And if you've never truly put your hope and faith and trust in Jesus Christ, not just as Savior, but also as Lord, then you can do that today by calling out to him and saying, Father, come into my life. Forgive me for the things that I've done or that are wrong. Forgive me for trying to live life my own way and not pursuing and living life your way. Come into my life and make me new. Show me what it means to follow you. In these next few moments, I encourage you to pray that prayer and invite Jesus in. He'll change you forever. For those of you that have made that decision already, maybe you're here today and you're like, yeah, I know I'm a Savior, but there are areas of my life where I definitely am not allowing him to be Lord. And then come to the Father now and confess that to him and ask him to meet you in that moment and to change you and to help you to take the right next step forward. In all of these decisions, I invite you to pray about them, to come up, let me know. Meet with one of our prayer team members in the back and pray with them, or to pray with someone that you're sitting next to that you know will encourage you and support you. But don't just hold on to it to yourself. Allow the Holy Spirit to meet you in this moment. And if you gave your heart to Jesus today, come let us know. We want to celebrate that decision with you. Father God, I pray that you move among us now, that you show us what it means to truly be a follower of yours. Meet us in this moment and transform us forever. Save us now, Lord Jesus.